You're listening to Randall Wallace Presents, formerly Bridging the Political Gap, the number one American history podcast of 2024 by Feedspot.com.
I did everything I needed to do, and I was at my wit's end. I just decided when I was going to call Senator Thurman's office, and they took the matter over immediately. And it was in a short while that I got retroactive pay and got it reinstated properly by the month. But I would not have ever gotten it had it not been for Senator Thurman. He has a very compassionate heart. He helps people. So stand with him.
Is about the next century, not the last one. I'll fight to balance the budget without gutting Medicare and student loans. I won't be owned by the special interest, and I too will provide great constituent service.
Elliot Close, a new conservative senator for South Carolina.
Welcome to Bridging the Political Gap. I'm Randall Wallace, and this is our final episode in a three-part on the life of Strom Thurmond. And it's the campaign of 1996, and let me tell you, that was probably the most influential campaign of my lifetime on me, because I was about 25, I was about to graduate from college, and I had a chance to help on the campaigns of not one but two of the real idols in my lifetime that I admired the most, Bob Dole, who was running for president at the time, and Strom Thurmond. And so 1996 just really was, it was the year. And I saved a lot of the materials that you hear for the whole podcast, really, but that you hear in that year as that campaign unfolded. Elliot Close is the heir to the Springs Mills, and he owned part of the Carolina Panthers football team, had really never been involved that I know of in political office. And so he decides he's going to run against Strom Thurmond here in this last campaign. Now, from what I understand, some of that was folks around Bill Clinton had approached Close about running. He was able to raise a lot of money. So this was going to be the most serious challenge that Strom Thurmond had seen since Pug Ravenel had run against him in 1977. But Thurmond was beloved. That ad that you heard when we opened the show was typical of the people of South Carolina, had gone to Senator Thurmond and gotten help. Everybody knew that Senator Thurmond was who you went to if you needed help, and he was going to be in your corner. And really, there was only one issue in this campaign, and that was Senator's age. He was 94 years old, and he had the national media and a lot of folks out spreading things that I can tell you were not true. I worked on that 96 campaign, and I lived in Greenwood, South Carolina, about 1991 to 1996, and so I knew Senator Thurmond's sister, Mrs. Bishop, who was herself 90 years old and who was herself amazing. She could talk to you about things that happened 50 years ago that just like it happened yesterday, and she still drove. She still got around. And the senator did, too. I mean, he just was amazing. So what other issues, when you hear people say that he had not been coherent for 15 years or 10 years, that is a lie. And you can tell him Randall Wallace told you that. That guy was amazing in 1994 or 1996. And when I went with him to the Loris Boghoff, I had the time of my life with the senator. He was ready to go early on. We did the parade, and he was walking all around, talking to people, shaking hands with people. At one point, he grabbed me by the arm, and I thought he was going to put a bruise on me. And we went and ate chicken bog, and we just had the greatest time. And it was in 1996, and It was a great campaign. So you just heard Senator Elliott Close's ad about thanking him for his experience, but it was time for a change. Here is Senator Thurmond's, about two or three of his ads that are great. It's the one with the two governors, Carol Campbell and David Beasley, and some common folks about, you know, we got to have a man with experience. And then my personal favorite one, the waterfowl ad, about Elliott Close being on the Waterfowl Commission and not showing up.
Senate. He's a true conservative, and he works every day for South Carolina.
I'm sticking with experience and seniority. This election is about results, and Strom Thurmond gets results.
Strom Thurmond is more than just our senator.
He's our lifeline to Washington. We all count on him.
He's earned our respect.
And he deserves our support.
And we're going to be voting for Strom Thurmond.
And we hope you'll do exactly the same thing.
A candidate who's a successful businessman, who's balanced a budget and made a profit. Problem is, that's not Elliott Close. Records show Close hasn't held down a real job or earned a real salary. He gets his money from his family's trust funds. Experience? Well, he was on the Waterfowl Commission, but he didn't show up. Newspapers say Elliott Close doesn't have a clue. Good thing we already have a senator who's working for us 100% of the time.
Citizen.
I want somebody experienced that knows what they're doing. Senator Thurmond is that person.
He's earned our respect.
He deserves our support.
The big issue for a lot of the time during the campaign was Elliott Close challenging Senator Thurmond to a debate. And Strom Thurmond was having none of it. Now, the story that Thurmond always had was he was going to give him a platform, give him any attention, and that he needed to go out and get some experience running for town council or the school board instead of running for the top job in the state. And Close did a pretty good job because he knew the age was the only issue that was really out there. And they were trying to get Thurmond, you know, on tape for 90 minutes, trying to show that the senator couldn't keep up, which was nonsense. You know, anybody who was on the Thurmondator bus tour, which was great, by the way, Senator Thurmond, they traveled around about two or three days in a Greyhound or one of those RVs, you know, and the senator come out and campaign, but they had these great t-shirts that had the Terminator outfit on and him on a motorcycle with Senator Thurmond's head and sunglasses and a cigarette hanging out of his mouth. it was a great promotion. Anyway, Close was trying to get a debate and he couldn't. So he ended up having a sort of this phony debate where they had video clips or something in an empty chair. And this was the news coverage from that.
It was interviewed taped months ago. While it was what I would call an absurd move, we thought it was necessary. Because of that, Close is giving up. I am today ending my call for Senator Thurmond to debate with us one-on-one in this race. In exchange for dropping that demand, I call upon the senator to stand alone on his own two feet and personally speak to the voters of South Carolina to answer their questions and concerns in this very important race.
Close says he wants a 90-minute town hall type meeting. Thurmond has said repeatedly he won't debate because he doesn't want to give Close a forum. Close says this idea solves that because Thurmond would be alone.
But Elliott Close is having about as much luck with this as he did with his debate challenge. The Thurmond campaign says forget it.
We are not going to let Mr. Close dictate this campaign. He is obviously desperate. He's on a downfall. And he's trying to make something happen because his campaign is in such disarray.
Close claims if Thurmond can't or won't do this, he's concerned about the senator's ability to serve six more years. Thurmond's campaign says his two-day 10-county bus tour this week proves he's still got what it takes. In Columbia, Robert Kittle, TV 13 News.
While Elliott Close has given up on a debate, State Democratic Chairman Ronnie Maxwell has not. He says if Thurmond won't debate, Democratic Senator Fritz Hollings won't debate either when he's up for re-election in 2 years.
Let me tell you, there was the lady that you heard talking on there from the Thurmond campaign, Cindy Carter-Thompson. She was great. I mean, if I ever run for anything, I want Cindy Carter-Thompson working for me and Tony Denny, who manages the campaign, because they were great about turning these things around on poor old Elliott Close. It was just, you know, poor guy. Cindy just completely turns this this attempt to get Thurman out on a 90-minute deal into, you're not dictating terms to us. Your campaign's in complete disarray, and you're not telling us what to do. It was great. Every time I think about it. And then Tony Denny, who you'll hear in this next clip, was also just masterful at dealing with the press and always making Senator Thurman look great for whatever tidbit you took away. And I mean, they were up by like 20 points. It was a fun campaign to watch people who really knew what they were doing do it on an A-game level. It was just great. Now, once that they had to give up on this debate, Elliot Close now is stuck doing the one thing he promised he wasn't going to do. He said he was never going to make age an issue in the campaign, even though he always had it underlying his issue. So finally, toward the end, they just threw the ball down the field on the only issue they had and started. They had this ad with these people talking about it was time for Thurman to come home, and they went straight to the press. And again, you'll see Tony Denny just masterfully turn this one around.
At the bank, at the dry cleaners, across South Carolina, from Myrtle Beach to Anderson County. That's what people are talking about.
But the Thurman campaign says the ad is a desperation attack.
Senator Thurman has a 100% attendance record. He is on the job every day, getting the job done. So to talk about age only, without talking about all of Senator Thurman's incredible accomplishments, is nothing more than negative mudslinging campaigning, because unfortunately, Mr. Close has nothing to run on.
The Close campaign says the ad is about abilities, not age.
The Close campaign is also excited about a new poll that shows the race getting tighter. It has Thurman with 49% and Close with 42%. But that poll was done for the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee. Other independent polls show Thurman still has a double-digit lead.
Thurman's camp says moves like this are also pushing up Close's negative rating. In Columbia, Robert Kittle, 13 Eyewitness News.
Elliot Close is meeting with reporters tomorrow morning in Columbia to talk about his latest ad.
Look here, folks. Let me tell you, this race was never getting closer. That was Elliot Close, I don't know, dreaming or something. Because the only places that he was doing well was Horry County, unfortunately, and maybe Oconee County, which are on opposite ends of the state, and are really where the transplants who did not know Senator Thurman and know all the great things that he did, perhaps buy into the stuff that you hear all over, you know, the people who don't live here talk about him based on stuff that happened in 1940 or 1948. This race wasn't close at all. But here's a little clip of the ad that they're talking about.
You know, old Strom Thurman's done a pretty good job, but don't you think at 93 it's about time he retired?
Yes.
But I'll give it to him. It really is a pretty good ad. And it was the one issue that was out there that that was resonating with the public. But it was funny. One of the major media outlets did a poll in South Carolina about, do you think Senator Thurman is too old for the job? And the answer came back fairly overwhelmingly yes, that they thought he should retire. And then the next question was, you know, why would you continue to vote for him? And this one really stunned me in a lot of ways, you know, kind of touches my heart that, you know, that in this era, even though this is 20-something years ago, when politicians are held in such low esteem, here's a guy who did the job so well that what the public came back and said was, we're worried that he might die if we don't reelect him. They loved him that much that even though they thought he was too old, they still overwhelmingly reelected him anyway. Now, one of the other things that had begun to happen were these little minute talks that the news networks were putting on. And here is Mr. Close, Elliot Close's minute, and Senator Thurman's from the 1996 campaign for WIS in Columbia.
It sure is different from business. In business, you have to balance a budget, fix problems, and your word is your bond. I think we need more of that in Washington. That's why I decided to run for the U.S. Senate in the first place. As we head into these final hours before you go to the polls on Tuesday, I hope you'll see through all the negative politics and the political hype. I'm asking you to replace Strom Thurmond with a fresh new face. As I've said throughout this campaign, I have tremendous respect for Senator Thurmond. Like many of you, I've voted for Senator Thurmond. And like you, I think it's time for him to retire with honor. As we head into the 21st century, South Carolina cannot afford ineffective leadership. We don't deserve the world's nuclear garbage. We deserve better than schools ranked last in America. Folks in the Midlands need a BMW plant too. All these things require vigorous leadership, new ideas, and a vision for the 21st century. I'm no liberal, but I do believe in our public schools. I disagree with Newt Gingrich regarding his Medicare cuts. And I want to work with Democrats and Republicans to get results. Party labels don't mean much to me. Thank you for the opportunity to be on the ballot next Tuesday, and thank you for your warm hospitality to me and my family as we've campaigned in every county in this state over and over again. This election is about the next century, not the last one. Next Tuesday, think about the future.
Well, people ask me, after so many years, why I am running again. It's this simple. I love serving the people of South Carolina. For me, public service is the greatest calling anyone can have. It's about helping others. It's all about keeping Washington honest and making it work for everyone. Being your United States Senator, well, that's been the greatest privilege of my life. It's one reason I haven't missed a single vote in the last session of Congress. Not one. Here, experience, leadership, and seniority matter. There's just no substitute for them. And nobody has more seniority than I do. And they're not qualities you inherit. You have to earn them every day. My friends, with your support, on November the 5th, I would be honored to stay on the job and to keep that experience and conservative leadership working for all of us.
Tomorrow night, WIS News will present a special edition of Newswatch. David Stanton will examine the candidates and the issues of the race. You can see the show tomorrow night at 7:30, or if you miss it then, it'll air again Sunday morning at 10.
Covering South Carolina from the capital city, this is WIS. Now, from WIS News, Decision 96. South Carolina votes for a U.S. senator. The race between Strom Thurmond and Elliott Close. This special edition of Newswatch is brought to you by NBSC, the South Carolina bank for you.
And welcome. In just a couple of days, many of you will be going to the polls to elect a United States senator. It is one of the most powerful positions in this country. And this year, there is a spirited battle between the incumbent Republican Strom Thurmond and his Democratic challenger, Elliott Close. Strom Thurmond was first elected to the Senate in 1954 as a Democrat. He switched to the Republican Party 10 years later. The 93-year-old Thurmond is chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee. He hopes to become the longest-serving member of the Senate, a record he could achieve early next year if he is reelected. Elliott Close is president and CEO of a York County real estate development firm. This is the 43-year-old Democrat's first attempt at elective office. Close is a member of the family that controls Springs Industries, one of South Carolina's largest employers. And Mr. Close joins us on Newswatch, and we appreciate you being with us today.
Delighted to be with you today.
Good. We also invited Senator Thurmond to be interviewed for this program, but he declined. However, we will be hearing from Mr. Thurmond in excerpts from interviews that he has given us at WIS in recent months. Let's begin with the campaign itself. It has been waged largely through television ads, and each campaign has complained about the other's ads. We're going to take a look at a couple of those ads and get the candidates' comments about the issues involved. First, an ad run by the Close campaign about nuclear waste coming to South Carolina.
South Carolina's old-style politicians have allowed tons of hazardous and nuclear waste from foreign countries to be dumped in our state. Only our elected leaders in Washington can stop this.
When I'm your next U.S. Senator, I'll work to stop the dumping of foreign nuclear waste in South Carolina. I'll never take a dime of waste industry PAC money. They'll never own my vote.
Mr. Close, are you inferring in that ad that Senator Thurmond hasn't done enough to keep nuclear waste out of the state?
I'm inferring that whoever was in charge over the last 30 years has not done enough to keep nuclear waste out of this state. We are the world and this nation's dumping ground for nuclear and hazardous waste, and whoever's been in charge all that time and whoever was in a position of power to stop that, and our senators would certainly be a part of that hierarchy, have let that happen, and we need to stand up and stop that because we've taken waste too long.
What would you do if you were senator?
Well, what has to change is the treaties that were done back in the 50s, allowing us to take back foreign nuclear waste, have to be changed. They have to be done. That has to be done on the Senate floor. So I would work to fight to change those treaties so that we don't have to accept any more foreign nuclear waste into this state.
What did you think about pulling South Carolina out of the low-level nuclear waste compact?
I thought that was an erroneous and bad idea, and I don't think that was the way we needed to go. Now we are opened up to 49 other states' waste, where we were only opened up to the Southeast Compact states' waste at the time, and I think it assured that we were going to be the dumping ground for this foreseeable future, and that's not exactly where I want to see our state move.
WIS reporter Heather Hoops recently asked Senator Thurmond if he thought nuclear waste should be brought from Europe to be stored in South Carolina.
I think it's a mistake, and we passed a law in the Senate to provide that during the interim until it opens up in Nevada later, that the interim storage would be put near that so that when the time comes, they won't have so far to transfer it. That ought to be done. The president's against that. The president's against that. And so if we can get the president to go along, we can get this law passed.
Now an ad that has been run by the Thurmond campaign about Mr. Close's business background.
We need a candidate who's a successful businessman, who's balanced a budget and made a profit. Problem is, that's not Elliot Close. Records show Close hasn't held down a real job or earned a real salary. He gets his money from his family's trust funds. Experience? Well, he was on the Waterfowl Commission, but he didn't show up.
On the campaign trail recently, Senator Thurmond said he stood by the ad, and he had this comment about Mr. Close's qualifications.
He never held an office. Is he qualified? Does he want to start at the top? United States Senate? Highest federal office in the state? Why didn't he run for the town council and get some experience?
And Mr. Close, what about that? Why are you starting with the highest federal office in South Carolina?
Well, I didn't sit down one day and say, I want to run for public office. Now, which job should I look for? I looked out at what was there and saw this opportunity and this cause and this need, actually, of somebody to run for this high office. And it is a high office and a very important one for this state. But I didn't say, well, I need to run for public office, so let's start somewhere. I said, this needs to be done. Nobody else was stepping forward. I was at a point in my life and career where I could do it. And I think we need a little more business sense in Washington, some common sense, versus career politicians like Senator Thurmond.
What do you think about the way this campaign has been run? It got somewhat negative towards the end with both campaigns running ads sort of attacking the other party.
Well, our ads have been trying to point out the facts and what third party, independent parties are saying about the senator and talk about the issues. We've tried to talk about the issues throughout this. We've begged for Senator Thurmond to join us on a panel with a debate format and discuss the issues, or even, if he doesn't want to give us publicity, to go on by himself and talk to the issues and answer questions from you people in the media or from voters in the state. He's refused to do that and talk about the issues, so we've tried to do that and talk, be issue-oriented. They, you know, they came out with that attack ad, which I say is pretty much false, and we've had to come back with some things of our own, but we'd like to keep this on a high plane and just talk about the issues.
Okay, well, we'll have some more questions for you on issues here in South Carolina when we come back, so stay tuned to Newswatch. And on this special edition of Newswatch, we are focusing on the race for the United States Senate here in South Carolina. Elliot Close is the Democratic challenger, and he is with us here in the studio. Senator Strom Thurmond declined our invitation to be interviewed for this program, but we will be showing excerpts from interviews that we here at WIS have done with Senator Thurmond in recent months. And let's move to an issue that you said you would not bring up when you first started this campaign for the United States Senate. That is the age issue. The Thurmond campaign says that is the only thing you're campaigning on anymore. And in fact, you have run ads in recent weeks that attack the age issue.
Well, we don't talk about age as such. We don't think age is the issue. It's ability and who can lead this state and this country into the 21st century. This job ends up in the year 2002, so we don't talk about age as much as we do ability to do the job, and we would much prefer to talk about the issues if we could get Senator Thurmond to come out and discuss them with us, but he, again today, he's declined to be seen or talk to us about those issues, so we've had to focus on things that people are concerned about, and that's what I'm hearing as I go across the state. People are saying, does he have the ability to do this for another 6 years?
So your point is that age should not be an issue unless it affects the person is so old that it affects their ability.
Well, if Strom Thurmond was 50 and he wasn't able to do the job, would that be age discrimination? No. If he was 120 and still had the ability to do it, that would be the question. And he can answer that question very easily had he decided to come out and talk to the voters and let him see him unscripted and without his age, talk about the issues and debate and do what he has to do up there on the Senate floor. And we think he should have done that.
Do you think Senator Thurmond is up to the job?
That's not for me to decide. That's for the voters of South Carolina to determine, and we'll find out on November the 5th.
And we asked Senator Thurmond if he thought age should be an issue in this campaign.
I don't think it ought to be an issue. I think that's discrimination. It's your results that counts. What you have done and what you can do that counts. How you can help the people. In so many ways we can help the people in the things that I've stood for as time has gone by.
Another issue that we've heard a lot about here in South Carolina in recent years has been race relations. There's been a huge debate over the Confederate flag. We've had burnings of black churches in this state. Elliot Close, what should we do about race relations, making those relations better here in South Carolina?
Well, we've got some people in the state who are trying to ignore the racial problems that we have and the racial tensions that we have in this state. We've got some people in fairly high offices that don't want to face up to the fact that we've still got some real racial problems here in this state. There are a lot of good people out there working on these problems and trying to pull together and pull us together as a people, and I would like, to be a part of that. One issue that was brought up repeatedly is the Confederate flag issue. You know, anybody in a position of power or influence in this state should be standing up and saying that, the Confederate flag issue is a divisive symbol and it ought to come down off of our state house capitol and be put maybe in a place of honor on the state house grounds. I thought that compromise was a good one, but our state legislature didn't see fit to do that, and our governor hasn't shown the fortitude to get up and fight for that as well. So we got to do some things in this state, especially in light of the recent the shootings that we had that may or may not have been Klan related. We got a long way to go in this state.
And we asked Senator Thurmond what he thought about race relations in South Carolina.
And a lot has been done in South Carolina on that line. I don't know of any particular discrimination at this time, but we should encourage good relations between all the races. Years ago, of course, we had laws and customs against mixing the races. Now all that's changed. Everybody's considered the same. Equal opportunities. Equal chance for everybody. And that's the way it ought to be, an equal chance.
And Mr. Close, you mentioned a second ago that there are some top leaders in South Carolina that haven't done much for race relations over the years. Were you talking about Senator Thurmond?
No, I think Senator Thurmond has, we won't get into his distant past and some of his stances on race and those things, but he's certainly changed with the times, but it would be nice for him to stand up and take a leadership role in helping to heal the race relations in this state and do everything he could, which I have not seen that leadership there recently.
Okay, we'll have some more questions for you about the issues facing South Carolinians in just a second, so stay tuned. And the election is only a couple of days away, and on this special edition of Newswatch, we're taking a look at the most publicized race in the state this year, that for the United States Senate. And with us on the program is Elliot Close, the Fort Mill textile heir, who hopes to retake the seat for the Democrats. His opponent, the incumbent Strom Thurmond, declined our invitation to take part in this program. Mr. Close, a lot of the national political writers say there's one issue that nobody nationally or in federal races is talking about much, taking head on, and that is Medicare. We know that if we don't do something about Medicare, we're probably going to run out of money in that program in the next 5 to 10 years. What do we need to do about it?
Absolutely. We've got to address the health care cost and Medicare being the major portion of that. We've got to look at that. The Kennedy-Cassebaum bill that passed in the last Congress is a step in the right direction, making insurance portable, whether you lose your job or change jobs, limiting insurance companies' rights to kick you out for pre-existing conditions. But we got to go further than that. We've got to talk about 100% deductibility of health care costs for small businesses and individuals. We've got to do some things in that area to contain costs, and some of the managed care initiatives that are going on now are the right direction to go in, I believe, because costs are coming down. That doesn't mean you have to take away people's right to choose their own doctor or their own physician, and it doesn't mean we have to cut on quality of health care, but we've got to get it under control, and we've got to make it solvent in the years to come.
We asked Senator Thurmond what he thought about Medicare.
We're going to preserve Medicare. That's important to the people. We can afford not to. Too many people depend upon it.
Do you think it's going to go bankrupt?
No. Congress ain't going to let it go bankrupt. We've got to protect it, and we'll protect it.
Ms. Close, have Democrats been demagoguing this issue as Republicans charge around the country? Because the Republicans and Democrats are both saying we need to restrain the growth. They just differ in how much we should restrain it.
Yeah, and their $270 billion proposal to cut Medicare would have completely gutted it. And I think that was way too much, especially when you look at the fact that, you know, the cut was that large only to give a tax break to those of us on the wealthier end of the spectrum, which I disagree with.
But you say cut Medicare, though. They're not really cutting it, are they?
Yeah, you're talking semantics now. You cut the rate of growth, whatever you want to call it. It was still a cutback in the program. And we have to make some cutbacks in the program, but we don't have to make them as massive as the Republicans were proposing.
There has also been a lot of talk in this campaign about character and whether a candidate's character should be considered a political issue. Here's what Senator Thurmond had to say about that.
I think it should be the number one consideration. A person who doesn't have proper character shouldn't be in public office, high office or low office. Sometimes I get discouraged in seeing what's happening today in the presidential race. Character is not being considered like it ought to be.
And Mr. Close, it used to be that the media did not delve into a politician's personal life, but anymore... reporters will do that and say that it sort of leads to a look at the person's character. Should character be an issue?
Absolutely. I mean, we've got to have people in high office, and should have people in any office, of high character and moral standing. And we've got to do that to instill in our children. You know, these are the people that they look up to. These are the people that they see on TV and in the news every day. They ought to have high moral standing and high moral character.
Okay. Let me ask you about the idea that we need a tax cut, as President Clinton called for in 1992, a middle-class tax cut. Senator Dole's calling for a 15% across-the-board tax cut this year. Do we need a tax cut, or should we be focusing on cutting the federal deficit first, you think?
Well, I don't think anybody would argue that we tax too heavily and the middle class in this country deserves a tax cut, but I would argue that we got to balance the budget first, and once we do that, then we can start talking about a tax cut. If we can balance the budget and start whittling away at our national debt, we get a tax cut automatically by eliminating part of the interest payment that we make every year. That's the third largest part of our national budget, is paying interest on the national debt. So let's balance the budget, get that done, make the cuts where needed, and balance the budget and prove we can do that, and then we can start talking about a tax cut.
Would you look at any cuts now? Both President Clinton and Mr. Dole are calling for capital gains tax cuts, are calling for credits, tax credits for families with children.
Well, if I was forced to look at any tax cuts at the present, it would probably be to education and to families with, you know, children necessary for education, those kind of things. Capital gains, I think, is in fact a way to boost the economy and get some growth, but I don't think we need a capital gains tax cut until we balance the budget and get that done first.
And we asked Senator Thurmond what he thought about Senator Dole's 15% tax cut plan.
I think it's a good plan. I think it will spur the economy. It will give people a chance to save some money and use it the way they want to instead of giving it to the government.
What do you think about that plan?
I think the 15% across-the-board tax cut makes no sense whatsoever. Even every economist that's looked at it, I don't think there's one yet that have said it makes a lot of sense. And Canada Dole has not even come forward with where he'd pay for that cut. So Until we balance the budget, I'm not for any kind of major tax cuts like that.
Another big issue that politicians are not talking much about these days is Social Security. And let's take a look at what Senator Thurmond said when we asked him about what to do about Social Security.
I think the government's got to guarantee Social Security. Now, there could be alternatives to like independent investments, and that'd be all right. But we must guarantee Social Security to the people who pay into that fund, the entitled draw from that fund.
And some people say we need to start looking at privatizing Social Security and letting people take the money and invest it themselves. Others say we're going to eventually have to push back the age at which people can start drawing Social Security. What's your take on that?
Well, some of all of that. We've got to do a better job of investing, and there are investments we can make, safe investments that we can put our Social Security fund into that will reap higher rewards. It's solvent until supposedly the year 2029, so we've got some time to work with it, but we've got to make it solvent beyond that. For those of us in the baby boomer age that are going to come along and really tax the system and have paid into the system for some time, we've got to make it work, and whether it's raising the retirement age a little bit, or different investments. There are a lot of areas we've got to look at, but we've got to make it solvent.
But the bottom line is we're not going to be able to do anything about the federal deficit, which you say is our number one economic problem, unless we do something about Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security, right?
Those are the two programs, or the three programs, those along with national debt, interest, and defense that we've got to look at. The entitlement programs are one area, but smaller. Discretionary spending's minimal, foreign spending. You know, we got to look at those big programs in order to make a dent in things.
We were talking about cultural issues just a moment ago, and one cultural issue that often comes up is the issue of voluntary prayer in schools. It's a hot-button issue ever since the U.S. Supreme Court issued its ruling years ago saying school systems can't mandate prayer. What do you think about that? There's talk about having a constitutional amendment to allow voluntary prayer in schools.
Well, I think our founding fathers had a good idea, and our Constitution has served us well in separating the church and state, and I think we ought to, you know, abide by that. There are a group of ministers who don't want voluntary prayer in the school. I think the moment of silence we have here in South Carolina is a good idea and works well, and I'm glad to see young students in these schools having prayer breakfast and prayer meetings before school and those kind of things. So there's a place for those areas, and schools shouldn't mandate what we do on religion.
And here's what Senator Thurmond had to say when we asked him about a constitutional amendment on voluntary prayer.
Well, I think they have a right to pray. Well, we've tried to take religion out of everything. This country was founded by our forefathers who came here seeking first religious rights, and then, of course, economic rights and political rights. But religious rights are one of the main reasons for founding this country.
Another issue that has been at the forefront over the last couple of years is term limits. That was part of the Republicans' contract with America that did not get passed. Senator Thurmond is going for his eighth term, and we asked him what he thought about term limits.
I think it doesn't hurt to bring in new blood, and the issue had been raised before and with any serious attitude. And if it affects me, so be it. If it puts me out, so be it.
Elliot Close, do you agree with Senator Thurmond that we need to bring in new blood sometimes?
Absolutely. I think the best case for term limits is the senator, I think. We need some new blood, some new ideas, and we've got too many people up there that have become career politicians because it's available. And the majority of people out there in this country and in this state think term limits is a good idea, and the folks in Washington can't continue to ignore the majority of people. They're up there to represent the people of this country and this state. And if the majority wants it, that's what we ought to be doing.
You have said that if you're elected, you'll only serve two terms.
Absolutely. I pledged 12 years in Washington is enough. If I can't do some things for this state in 12 years, I'll come home and let somebody else give it a shot.
Do you favor a constitutional amendment?
Absolutely. I have signed a pledge that I would not only vote for, but I will work for seeking a constitutional amendment making term limits the law of the land.
And another issue that has been very controversial for probably 25 years or so is the issue of abortion, and that is an issue that the Republican Party has been wrestling with in recent years. What's your stand on the issue of abortion?
Well, that is a very tough issue, and as seen in this year's Republican debate, they had a real problem with it because they've got the right to life crowd on one side and the more moderates on another. I believe that we should do everything we can to reduce the number of abortions in this state, in this country, but in the end, it should be legal, rare, and it ought to be the woman's right to make that decision. Government shouldn't be in it. And a woman ought to make that decision with in consultation with her family and her doctor and her religion and keep the government out of it.
President Clinton has gotten a lot of criticism from Republicans about vetoing the ban on late-term abortions. Would you have voted to uphold his veto?
No. I think that that is an area that probably crosses the line, but only in the very stringent health of the mother, life and death situations of the mother would I have said that that needed to be done.
And here's what Senator Thurmond told us about the issue of abortion.
Well, I'm against abortion except in case of rape, incest, or health of the mother.
All right. Let me ask you this. We're just about out of time. We asked Senator Thurmond why he was running in this race for his eighth term, and this is what he had to say about that.
And I'm running this time the last time because my experience, what I have accomplished, and being in a position now, it would take a new person 20 or 25 years to get the stature, to get the seniority, and the standing that I have now to help the people of South Carolina. And I think I can do more for them for the next few years than a new person could do.
20 seconds. Why is Al Close running for the U.S. Senate?
Well, I'm running because I want to make a difference and fight for what's right for South Carolina and the United States Senate. I've got three small children that I want to see grow up in a state that is progressive and moving forward. And we need that kind of leadership in Washington.
Okay, Al Close, thanks for being with us on this special edition of NewsWatch, and thank you for watching.
This special NewsWatch, Decision 96, South Carolina votes for a U.S. senator, has been...
Now today, Thurmond was doing some last-minute campaigning in Florence. He says that he feels pretty confident that he will be reelected.
I worked hard for the people all these years. If people always elected me, I'm going to work hard for them again, and I think they'll elect me again.
Polls have Thurmond up by about 10 points over Close. And remember to find out the results from the Thurmond Close race and all the other races. Keep it right here throughout the evening for the most complete election coverage.
Seeking an eighth term in the U.S. Senate, Bruce Morton looks at Thurmond's bid and the Democratic candidate who stands in the way. South Carolina glows in the autumn sunlight the same way it did in the old South a century ago. But it's all high-tech and exports now, as this BMW plant shows, and Democrat Elliot Close, millionaire businessman, would like to represent this new state in the Senate. He has problems.
We were wondering who was running.
I am it.
Well, so you have literature you're passing out?
Well, not here, but...
Workers walk by, Close watches, speaks when spoken to. His factory guide wonders, what kind of candidate is he? They usually shake every hand in sight.
Good to see you. How are you?
Oh, dear. Nice to see
you. Strom Thurmond shakes every hand in sight, been doing it for years. He is 93 now, and he's doing it still.
You said I hugged while I go that you'd hug women. You can hug women?
If they want to be hugged.
Can I be hugged?
Yeah.
Just look. Baby Strom, 1902. College senior, 1923. World War II officer, 1944. Governor, 1947. States' rights segregationist presidential candidate, 1948. Senator, 1954. Democrat turned Republican, 1964. He has known many presidents. Is he too old?
You know, old Strom Thurmond's done a pretty good job, but don't you think at 93 it's about time he retired?
Yes.
No, says Thurmond, I've got experience.
Because my opponent has never held any office. He wants to start at the top. He wants the highest federal office in the state. He wants to ask you to elect him there. Why didn't he get some experience first? Run for the school board or town council or something else, and then run for some high office.
We need some new progressive leadership. I think my business background lends itself well. I think we need more business acumen in Washington.
The candidates met, sort of, at the Lawrence County Courthouse. Thurmond spoke, Close hovered at the edges, shaking the occasional hand. Finally, he shook Thurmond's, though the senator may not have noticed, and said something about wanting to debate, which Thurmond has consistently refused to do.
Glad you think about debating with us.
Somebody
appreciate that.
Somebody
we're not.
Close hovered. Thurman got back on the bus. 10 counties, 2 days. The Thurmanator bus tour.
He said it took two of us to make one of him when we came along.
South Carolina has changed radically since Strom Thurmond first ran for office here. The racial segregation he once championed ended a generation ago, and he campaigns now as the senior senator who serves the people and brings home the bacon.
I think that Strom Thurmond could have been beaten this year with the right candidate, but I think his Democratic opponent, Elliot Close, has failed to give the voters a compelling reason to vote for him.
So he rolls on, courthouse to courthouse, handshake to handshake.
Yeah, we're going to win. We're working hard, but we're going to win.
Probably. Oh, yeah. Bruce Morton, CNN, Anderson, South Carolina.
This is Randall Wallace, your host for Bridging the Political Gap. I want to thank you first for tuning in to our podcast and invite you to come to our website, randallwallace.com. There you can get a copy of our book, Always Vote Your Conscience, Don't Take It Personally, and Don't Fight the Same Old Battles Over and Over Again, with a lot of policy suggestions and things that I think everyone could embrace, an argument for why we need to be working together instead of fighting with each other. Also, you can take a look at the first 11 episodes of this podcast, which was a podcast documentary that looked at the World War II generation of bipartisan leadership that built the American century and the lessons we can learn from them to apply to today's situations. Again, thanks for tuning in to our podcast. And if you've enjoyed our show, please leave us a review at wherever you get your podcast. And now, let's get back to the show. For me, 1996 is one of those bittersweet years. It was such a thrill to be able to work on and help as a volunteer Bob Dole's campaign and Strom Thurmond's campaign. And election night was a little tempered for me because Bob Dole obviously did not win, but what a night Strom Thurmond won. And it was a huge deal down in Columbia for the senator, and all kinds of people showed up, including one that might surprise you.
Outcome, but I think people pretty much expected that when they came here tonight. There is jubilation, though, for U.S. Senator Strom Thurmond. They called the race earlier. Joining me now, James Brown, the King of Soul. What is it about Senator Thurmond that brings you out here?
Real. He's real. He's always been real. He never forgot the people that brought him over. And the people never forgot him, and it shows. Every time he runs, it's always a landslide. I don't see how I can be anything other. He gave everything to this country and to the world, but especially to America and to this state. And it just don't even make sense. As long as he want to run, we should put him in. And I've always felt that way. And I wouldn't care what party he's from. I'm for the man.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Mr. Brown. Thanks, because there is a big crowd for James Brown, too. U.S. Senator Strom Thurmond is expected here any time. That will sort of take over the celebration, and people won't be talking as much about Dole because that is sort of a disappointment here. Ed and Susan.
Okay, thanks, Heather. We'll be right back with more South Carolina Votes.
I mean, really, could you imagine? I didn't get to go to this party because I was here in Myrtle Beach. But James Brown apparently wandered around this Thurmond event just like a normal guy. You could just walk right up and talk to him. And, I mean, you know, he's like the biggest rock and roll star other than Elvis in the world in history, you know. And here he is just, you know, right there at the Thurmond thing. And, you know, he was always a big Thurmond supporter. He's actually a Richard Nixon supporter. If you listen to my shows, he endorsed President Nixon. But he was a big Strom Thurmond supporter. And when Thurmond had his 90th birthday, James Brown came to that, too. So that's, I always thought it was really cool. But 1996 really was the most, probably the most important year of my life, because, like I said, I got to do these two campaigns, and I got to spend time with both Bob Dole and Strom Thurmond in the same year. But with Thurmond, I got to go to an event at Loras where he was by himself. They had asked for volunteers. We had a big race going on here that included Phil Render, who served with me on the city council later in Myrtle Beach for a state Senate race against Luke Rankin. But all the volunteers went for that because that race was really hotly contested right here in Horry County. And I went, and it was just me, Senator Thurmond, Raleigh Ward, who was the guy that ran his Florence office, Tony Denny, who was his manager, and there was a sled agent there. And that drove him around because he got a courtesy whenever he came back to the state. And so there we are. And I get to spend this unbelievable day. I followed him around with this giant sticker that said, "I'm for Strom." And I gave those stickers to every single person that we walked up to and that talked to him. And I ran out of stickers. And at one point he grabbed me. I think I've heard he said this. He grabbed me by the arm with his vice grip, you know. And we went and ate chicken body together, and I got to have lunch with him and you know, kind of talk to him, though you really couldn't because he was a 94-year-old rock star. I mean, he didn't get a chance to talk to anybody really at the time. There was somebody on top of him. But, you know, as you went through the day, you got to talk to all these people, and they would tell you all these stories about how he'd helped them and helped, you know, three generations of their family. And Thurmond was just laugh and talk to people. It was just amazing because it was hot. You know, South Carolina, it's hot in October. And you know, he didn't bat an eyelash, and he got in that car, and he told that sled agent to go, and Thurmond liked to drive fast, you know, to go to his next set of events. And he had three of them that day. I mean, this was the first of three that he had that day. So, you know, for a 94-year-old man, they are not exaggerating the stories they tell you about what good shape he was in. But I do like to tell this story because it was one of the most valuable pieces of advice I ever got. And all the time that I was a young man, you know, looking at being involved in politics and government service, and I tried to do it as best I could as a city councilman. I don't know that I certainly wasn't as good as Strom Thurmond, but we were walking back, and I said, "Well, Senator, is there any advice that you could give, a young guy like me who might run for public office one day if I ever had a chance to serve?" And he said, you know, and I can't imitate him, but he said, "Always remember that if someone's sitting on the other side of that desk, they're there because they didn't believe they had anywhere else to turn, and it's your job to help them." And, you know, that's the best advice for anybody in government politics that I could give you, is never forget that and always do what you can. But, you know, I figure he knew what he was talking about. The man had been in office 72 years. He was elected the same year as Herbert Hoover. And in 1996 was his last campaign, left office in 2002. 1928 to 2002, he served in public office. To me, that's just an amazing record. And he deserved his big night as much as anybody that's ever been in government. Because I've always said he was the most thoughtful, generous, genuinely wanting to help people of any political figure that I ever knew. And he also ran for office and functioned like a generation difference, you know, where it's all TV and internet and all this stuff today. And even then it was mail and ads and all in the television. Strom Thurmond still went courthouse to courthouse. You know, he went parade to parade. He didn't miss the Wagner Sally Chitlin strut or the Loras Bogoff or the Ainer Hoedown or any of those events. He didn't miss them. Now, when we had the big Senator Thurmond leadership meeting for this campaign, which I still have my program from, I'm very proud of that, he didn't come to that because he was busy in Washington doing his job. They had a vote. And I always thought, well, you know, that is old school. That is something that you don't see today, because courthouse to courthouse and parade to parade is how they did it way back when. And he still followed those rules. And it worked for him because he won 9 times for the United States Senate. So 1996 was a great year, and I am still to this day very proud that I had a small, tiny part as a volunteer that worked pretty hard for Strom Thurmond and for Bob Dole, And I got to know Tony Denny, who was this legendary campaign manager who's still in Columbia, and Cindy Carter Thompson, who was the best at dealing with the public. And I got to meet Henry McMaster, who was the state party chairman, who would later go on to be and is the best governor in America that we got right here in South Carolina. Countless opportunities. Mark Kelly was here. He was our state house member and owned Shamrock's Restaurant. And I got to come in there and start helping and working there. And that was a friendship that helped me in my time here in Myrtle Beach. And David Beasley, the governor, his people were out helping and working hard, both for Bob Dole in the primary when I was still at Lander and for Senator Thurmond. It was the year of my life. And I've always cherished every memory of it and every opportunity, but none more so than to get to spend a day or part of a day, a morning with Strom Thurmond.
Introduce the finest speaker of the House of Representatives in the United States, David Wilkins.
Thank you very much, Henry.
Okay.
You did it. The debate is now over. On behalf of the Thurmond campaign, I want to thank all of you for your hard work. They said it couldn't be done, and you did it. You sent the greatest statesman this state has ever produced back to Washington for one more term. You outworked him, you worked hard, you committed to Senator Thurmond, and because of you, he had a great victory tonight. South Carolina loves Strom Thurmond. I want to now present to you a great governor, somebody that led us for 8 years under his great leadership. We flourished, somebody we love and respect. Our former great governor, Carroll Campbell.
David, thank you very much. Thank you very much. First, I want to congratulate the people of South Carolina in showing the good judgment that they did to send Strom Thurmond back to Washington. And second, I want to be, rather than just a cheering section, say just something a little more serious. Think about why people would send him back to Washington. Is there a person in South Carolina that has ever asked him for help that he hadn't responded? I don't think so. Strom Thurmond went to Washington to represent South Carolina and the people of South Carolina. And he has never forgotten who he represents, and he never will forget it. And he is the kind of person that we need in office all over this country. That's the kind of man that we have. Thurmond, and I think you love Strom Thurmond too, because I'm going to tell you, they didn't make but one, ladies and gentlemen, and there'll never be another one, and he's the finest there is, and he belongs to South Carolina, and we're proud of that. And we are also... We're extremely proud of the fact that we in South Carolina not only have the finest senator in Washington, we have the finest governor in the United States, the Honorable David Beasley. And Governor Beasley has a few words that he would like to say. He and Mary Wood are just outstanding in representing our state. And I would like to call on the governor of the state of South Carolina to present a special person tonight. Governor Beasley. You got it.
How'd you like that commercial we did? Senator Thurmond, I don't think there's any question. The people in South Carolina have spoken, and they say, we love you, Senator Thurmond. Thank you.
back to GOP headquarters in just a few moments and hear from Senator Strom Thurmond.
But first, we want to check in with a Close campaign where we understand Elliot Close is speaking to his supporters tonight.
Folks, young and old, who worked thousands upon thousands of hours on this campaign, and I know I've not told each of you enough, but I appreciate all you've done for me in this campaign very, very, very much. I'm proud that in this time of excessive campaign spending, we agreed to and stuck with the $3 million spending limit with the Thurmond camp. I'm proud that I lived up to my campaign finance reform proposal, that I limited the amount of out-of-state money we took in this campaign, that I didn't take a dime of special money or PAC money, special interest money.
Elliot Close conceding defeat tonight to U.S. Senator Strom Thurmond, going back to Washington for an eighth term.
We'll go back to Senator Thurmond's campaign headquarters now, where he is making his acceptance speech.
Ladies and gentlemen, I can't thank you enough. All the nice things been said, it'd be well to stop it right now. But I do want to call the names of a few people who've been so active in this race. There are many others. All of you have been active, but these have been especially active, and I want to call their names. Chairman of the Re-elect Thurmond Committee, Speaker David Wilkins, has been just outstanding. The Honorary Chairman-elect Thurmond Committee, Governor David Beasley and Governor Carol Campbell. Yeah. And no one has worked harder than the Speaker and these two governors here. Also, I want to thank Governor Jim Edwards and Governor Bob McNair for their active support and participation in my campaign. I want to express my appreciation to the State Republican Party Chairman, who's done such a fine job, Henry McMaster. I wish to express my appreciation to the statewide co-chairman, Senator Joe Wilson. The finance co-chairman, who helped to raise the money, Gail Averett of Columbia, Buck Limehouse of Charleston, and Buck Bickle of Greenville. Thank you. Our campaign treasurer, Craig Spong. And before Tony took over this campaign, and before we got started, Mr. Mark Gooden came down and turned the thing around and got it going. Mark Gooden did a great job. The chairman, Tony Denny.
Tony!
Where is he? Come up here and let him see.
And you just heard Senator Strom Thurmond saying, I've won, and thanking all of the people that have helped him manage to get through another race.
All right, thank you very much, Victoria. And you know, it's been a big night for the Republicans in Horry County, and our Ned Barker has been following all those races there. He's joining us live right now at Shamrock's Restaurant, where there's a big celebration going on. Ned, what's happening?
Well, Republicans are still celebrating out here at Shamrock's Restaurant. And joining me right now is Mark Kelly, the owner of this restaurant, and a state representative representing our area here in Horry County. Your reaction to the vote totals tonight, you mentioned you think that Republicans did well in Horry County.
Yeah, I think they did. All five House members that are residents of Horry County are now Republicans. We have 7 House members in Horry County. 2 of them don't live in Horry County, but the 5 that do, that reside here, are now Republican House members for Horry County. So that's the first time in history, and we're real glad of that. And we picked up a senator. Arthur Ravenel is a Republican senator. Now we have a Republican senator also in Horry County that will be sitting on this delegation. So I think you'll see some changes.
One of the disappointments for Republicans may be a little bit to our south. It appears as though Vita Miller is winning her race, or probably has won her race, beating Don Thomas down a little bit to the south in Horry and Georgetown counties. So a little bit of disappointment. Last thing is, just very quickly, what did you make of the Elliott Close and Strom Thurmond vote totals here in Horry County?
Well, of course, I can't say anything more than I'm disappointed in those vote totals. The state has proven that Strom Thurmond is the right man to send back in Horry County. I think probably the factor was a lot of new Republicans coming to this area and new people moving to this area that don't realize the good that Strom Thurmond has done for the state of South Carolina, and they probably looked at an age factor, and that probably hurt them somewhat.
Right. Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
Representative Kelly, now back to you folks in the studio.
All right. Thank you very much, Ned. We appreciate it. We'll be checking back with you a little bit later on, hopefully. Tiffany.
Autographs and kept them something to do while Senator Thurmond waited to come over here. But now he's here and everybody has been cheering. You can see the crowd is starting to mingle out. Senator Thurmond has been a public servant for about 67 years. He was first elected to the county school board, and ever since then, he's had this one-on-one constituent service record where he's been helping people if they called. I talked with one woman tonight who he helped several years ago. She was watching our news, found out he was going to be here tonight, and she said she wanted to come meet him and thank him. People say that those type of relationships are what really counted in the polls tonight and what keep people re-electing him year after year. So now he serves an 8th term. He's already the oldest and longest serving member of Congress, and he could hit the century mark if he continues on through. You know, if he doesn't, many people speculate Governor Carol Campbell be appointed to his position. I spoke with Governor Campbell earlier tonight, asked him about that, and he said he expects Thurmond to finish his term, but I said, if he doesn't, he says, well, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. Back to you.
Okay, Heather, thank you very much. And as you mentioned, if Senator Thurmond completes this term in the year 2002, he will be 100 years old.
Senator, a bronze statue of Thurmond was unveiled on the South Carolina State House grounds.
So many people have worked so hard to make today's event a reality and a success. And I would like to thank each and every one of you, each and every one of you, for being here and for efforts made by all of you. This monument is a flattering gesture. Now I'm proud that I will join other South Carolinians who are represented across the Capitol grounds. Ladies and gentlemen, again I say, no state in the nation has a finer history or greater record of service to our nation than South Carolina. I won't take time to go into details, but I just want to tell you, you can be proud you're a South Carolinian. You can be proud to live in South Carolina. And you can be proud to look to the future and say, I was there. I was a South Carolinian. Thank you very much.
A sense of pride Strom Thurmond knew very well. But despite all his accomplishments over nearly a century of service, Thurmond, in a 1982 interview, summed up his lifetime with one humble thought.
How would you like to be remembered?
His country and one who loves his God and loves his family.
Thank you for listening to Bridging the Political Gap. If you've liked what you've heard, please share it. And we would love to hear from you and your thoughts on our show. So if you'd like to, please leave a review wherever you get your podcast. And until next time, thanks again, and so long for now.